Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, I'd like to welcome you to Garden of Enlightenment with Lu Yu Wildev, Weaver of Dreams, Gray Eye Smith, and Poetic Picasso. We will be doing front page picks and open poetry, just some fabulous poetry that's going to be read. Looking so forward to it. And I want to send out some well wishes to Gray Eyes. He is under the weather. He said he doesn't feel good, so he's suffering from migraine. So I do hope he feels better, and we will miss him tonight because he's the one that does my board for me, but I guess I'm going to have to squint tonight. And I just want to tell you a little bit about ourselves. This group is from Late Night Poets, and you can find us on allpoetry.com. It's free to join, and also to let you know, you can find our books which support all these radio shows at night and the after midnight, Late Night Poet Anthologies, and you can find all those fabulous books on Amazon.com, and they are beautiful and big poems donated from around the world to help support these radio shows. So please go and check us out and support the radio shows, because that's what all the funds are used for. So I'm going to go ahead and start picking up our columns, And my right-hand girl, Miss Katie from Scotland.
Good morning, Emma. Good evening. Hello, and how are you?
I'm doing good. It'll be morning here in a couple hours. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And let me pick up our next caller. Caller 707. Who am I speaking with?
Irish Rose.
Hello, Irish Rose. How are you doing tonight? Welcome, welcome.
We're doing great. Thank you.
Well, happy to have you. And let's pick
Thank
up
you.
Our next caller. This is Mr. Buttervoice, caller 585. Who are we speaking with?
Well, after today and all the food over the weekend, it's not Mr. Buttervoice. It's Mr. Butterball.
Lots of barbecue, celebrating. You know, I want to shout out, there's going to be a show tonight with memorial poems for all our lost warriors in remembrance of them. And I've had family members that have passed away that served. And we miss you all. So let's pick up our next caller. And thank you for your service. And that includes Laurent. And caller 763, who am I speaking with?
This is Dexter Bailey. Happy Memorial Day to everybody. Glad I could be here.
Happy
Memorial
Day.
This is a rowdy group tonight. All of a sudden, it was like, man, it was like all of a sudden I was going into a biker bar all of a sudden tonight when I was in the comedy today.
Welcome. You know, we're such lucky girls to have such wonderful male voices.
Yeah, we're fired up today.
I
love it.
Yeah. Well, I love men with deep voices, so I'm excited that we got two men with deep voices on here tonight. So it's going to be a great night of poetry. We're going to be doing three comments per poem because we have a whole lot of poetry, and then open poetry second hour. And thank you to everybody that sent in their SoundClouds that could not call in, since people writing from all over the world, and, you know, they are just not able to call in, so we appreciate that. Okay. We are ready to go, Katie.
Okay, my darling. So our first one is, sorry, I'm so sorry. I just saw Frank's comment on the board as I went to open it up. Oh, I wasn't expecting that. Okay.
I would love to ride the back seat with Dexter.
You see why I got a bit taken aback. Oh, dear.
Anyway. Yeah.
So much so that I've forgotten what I'm doing. Give me a second, please. Oh, don't do that. This is so bad. But I for some reason, decided to pace.
Who's riding the back seat with Dexter? I can't see this yet. What are we talking about?
Frank.
Oh, all right. Oh, I see it now.
Yeah, now he's okay. So we have Ode to Sorry by S. Sharp. And Dexter, would you be so kind as to read this for us, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Ode to Sorry by S. Sharp. I'm sorry. You're found only in the darkest storms. Word that turns sin to sincerity, or adds a T for what we hear, keeping the heart of friendship beating. We all make mistakes, but sorry, you turn to the collapsing card house into a royal flush, canned in a hand that trumps all. Remorse plows untravelable roads no one wants to traverse. Cars sliding off icy pavement. You are salt put on the slick road in the slick spots, in the wounds that time alone cannot heal. A tow truck pulling a Lamborghini out of a ditch. Sorry, although only a word, you refuse to dance alone. It takes two to tango, an open hand, a formal invitation, a piano smile, a head bowed a while, opposite a graceful curtsy. You're willing to put yourself in someone else's shoes, walking the long mile, even if the shoes are worn, wooden, or a dead man's army boots, sacrificing a more proper flying overhead. My superhero, wearing tights, S on your chest, Superman, interceding seconds before the train wrecks, goes off the tracks, filling into contents, into a ravine of spite. Let me just say sorry. I am sorry. I ever have to call your name, although you are one of the nicest words I've ever met. And poem.
You did a fabulous job in reading Sharp's poem, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Dexter. Katie, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, I thought it was a very, very well done poem, Ode to Sorrow. Sorry, I'm thinking ahead. It's very well. It brings everything to you, doesn't it? When you think about it, we do tend to say, "Oh, sorry." Without really thinking, if somebody knocks into you or you knock into them on the street. But it is a word that means, you know, mm-hmm. it can mean so much. If it's said to the right person at the right time, it can probably do a lot of healing as well, make people feel so much better. So I think that is a lovely idea and a lovely right. Yes, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I would like to know what you think, Gwen.
I thought it was an interesting way you put it together because, you know, when you think about sorry, you know, it's always the apologetic thing. And you think about how many different circumstances sorry comes up in. And, you know, there's other things we could say, but sorry sometimes is what comes out. And sometimes sorry just feels flat and sometimes it doesn't. It depends on the situation. And I thought that this was really well articulated the way he used it. And he gave me mm-hmm. a different perspective and I enjoyed it. Yes.
Agreed. Excellent comment, Gwen. And Laurent, what did you think?
I love the piece. I know for some people it's very hard to say they're sorry. They view it as some kind of an abasement or a humbling of themselves. But sorry is a magic word because, like Gwen said, if you say it at the right time, at the right place, the right person, it can mean everything. Your remorse plows untravelable roads no one wants to traverse. Cars sliding off icy pavements, your salt put on the slick spots of the wounds that time alone cannot heal. But they're very well written. I love the personification of a word.
Agreed. And I hope he does well in his contest he entered. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, back to you. Thank you, Laura.
Oh, okay, well, I thought I'd managed to miss this one last week, but here it is again. It is mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Street Food by me. Look at that food. It looks wonderful. And it's so
that looks so good.
So for once, I don't have a SoundCloud. Because again, I forgot all about it. So I'm afraid I'm going to try and read it. Okay, we've gone back to 79 AD to see a little cobbled street that was in ancient Pompeii. Here is a fast food stall, a Thermopolium, where you might eat in the middle of the day, always ready to sell all that you could wish for, as long as it was nuts, olives, fish, lentils, and lentil stew. Drinking the local water was never recommended. A jug of wine made in the town was better for you. End poem.
You did a wonderful read. This poem made my mouth water, probably because I like to eat all these things in there. And then, you know, to have a nice, juicy apple or some grapes afterwards. I really loved how you took us back, you know, to this ancient time and a different style of life, you know, where, you know, you did everything by hand. So I thought you did this beautifully, and especially like where you say drinking the local water was never recommended. A jug of wine made in town was better for you. So you did that fabulously, and
thank
I enjoyed
you.
It very much. What did you think, Dexter?
Yeah, this was great. And this is actually, you know, a lot of the stuff I sometimes think about, you know, at this time period, what was it like, you know, and they did have shops and they did have little stalls where you could have, you know, you could pull up and eat and you could buy goods and, you know, nuts, olives and fish. You know, I'm sure we're romanticizing it somewhat because I would imagine it isn't always as great as it what it seems. But I thought that this piece was perfect because I really enjoyed the thought-provokingness and taking us to this time period. So very well done, Kate.
Thank you, my dear.
Great. Thank you, everybody. And we're ready for our next one, Katie. Now that you made everybody hungry, at least I know I'm hungry.
Yes. So sorry about that. You have to remember, it's very, very old food, so it's not going to taste that good now.
You know, you have food without chemical.
We have Crucifix Rift by Ben Hart. And I'm sorry, my teeth are... Laurent, could I ask you to read this for us, please?
SoundCloud. Yeah, that's okay. Let me look for it.
Oh, wait.
And if you want to introduce it again while I am hunting for it?
I will certainly do that. This is called Crucifix Rift by Ben Hart. And there's a SoundCloud, by golly.
Thank you. Here we go.
Okey-dokey.
Crucifix Rift, a poem by Ben Hart. 1. American nicotine. Smoke leaving cigarette wick. Black cat hurries to a suburban hunting ground. I suddenly miss the bitter kick, that self-hate invasion at the back of my mouth. American nicotine is too sweet for these fleeting symphonies, playing pretend hide-and-seek with the same 3 minutes of misery played on repeat, telling ourselves each one was unique, worthy of a memory. And do you want to know what the worst thing is? There's tea in the thermos, but it won't be warm anymore because I poured it when we were still in love. When the lines in my hands matching up as I made them into a mask was still like art to you, made for the museum of movement, you'd say as if God cared for compliments, when all he wanted was for you to ask why he was hiding in blinded plain sight. Often on miscellaneous canvases, a crucifix rift in the clouds you happen to miss when you called the day Confederate. And why I was looking for hope in hands I've only ever known to be empty, never to know my beautiful symmetry until I was well into my 20s, when ecstasy had long lost the fight against depression. And if everything's a portal, is the one I'm supposed to stick my head through before I kick away the kitchen stool a shortcut back to a world that has Robin Williams in it? Because if so, I'm going. Spare you the eyes too blue for 22, who thought you only wanted to be seen in the moment, but you wanted me to see something through, and so you petrified my cowardice and made me the still asymmetry in your museum of movement. And of course, you called everything you left behind the past. You took one look at me and saw only the ashes, lint buried beneath your fingernails, black pushing me back through the cracks in the pavement you lay over my grave. Drinking the tepid tea from the thermos, and what rotten romance I had left bitter to you tasted sweet, like American nicotine. 2. Violet Bride. You were picking petals from your blue bridal bouquet and let them dissolve into your skin, covering the tattoos of your youth, the cuts and clefts you made to escape your peripheral prison. And they'll call you a hero, because you never gave up. But they'll make one mistake. Thinking you saved her, the girl Mother Earth birthed, when all you really did was outlive her. And not that it matters, but in your violet eyes I saw the burning of Eden, and blood on the stone by which Eve rid herself of Adam, and angels trying to fly home, making more angels in acidic snowfall, and the tides coming in, returning shipwrecks to shore, but never the gold. I said, I love you. And you said, how bold. End poem.
Mm. I want to thank Ben for this in-depth poem about love, pain, relationship, death, suicide, and sadness. And he has beautiful artwork that is titled The Birding of Eden by Ben Hart. Thank you. And let's get him some comments. What did you think about the poem, Laura?
I'm in the process of digesting this masterwork. It's a lot to take in all at once. But I like, among other things, and they'll call you a hero because you never gave up. They'll make one mistake thinking you saved her, the girl Mother Earth birthed, but all you really did is outlive her. In the matter of suicide and missing someone, of doing everything that you can to survive life and have a life. This jumps from emotional moment to emotional moment. He writes with such passion, and you can read so much into his words, but above all else, you feel the emotion. Every line is just a great piece.
Great. Thank you so much, Laurent. And what did you think about the poem, Dexter?
Yeah, this is a pretty incredible write, and you found the, or you just, in hearing him read it, you heard the emotion also, you know, just bleeding out of this. What I almost took out of the second half is, you know, you picking petals and all of this and your tattooed youth, I feel as though it's like just social media, I almost think, like where you go, you know, it could be a relationship with you, but just knowing that this girl had maybe, or this person had been through a lot, and then they end up on the other side, and then they end up doing well, and everybody's like, well, you know, hey, everything panned out for her, good for her, or, you know, things like this or whatever it is, but in reality, this was the person that was the person that did wrong, and to the outsiders that might look like it worked out for her and she deserves it, or this person deserves it, but in reality, they were the ones that were really the ones that were doing the wrongdoing, and so I just thought that this was a great write.
Great, thank you. Wonderful comment. And Katie, your next comment? It's Katie. Are you on mute?
Oh, I'm afraid I'm mutated. I do apologize. Oh, my goodness. I'm not for help. Okay, I know the one I'm looking for, and I can't talk about that one either. I was a particular stanza that I thought was so cool, and now I can't find it. That is... Oh, yes, I've got it. Yay. Mind you, it's pretty sad, the one I'm picking, but it's beautifully written. And if everything is a portal, is the one I'm supposed to stick my head through before I kick away the kitchen stool, a shortcut back to a world that has Robin Williams in it? Because if so, I'm going. Well, I'm right behind you, matey. I agree with you totally. That would be the place I would like to be. I thought it was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. It was very personal. And I like that. I like that this is somebody sharing something very deep for them, you know, whether it's true or whether it's fiction doesn't really matter to me, as long as the person isn't too hurt. You know, it's good to get it out, as they say. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Katie, and we're ready for the next poem.
Okay, and the next one we have is, here we are, Dreams by Torment King, and I shall give this a read. We have a love that even time will lie down and be still for. I dream of drizzling honey, of full houses and soft blouses, of fresh warm sheets, of dried chrysanthemums. We make love look like a playground, merry-go-round spinning, and we laugh when the rusty gears creak. I will hold on to your hand every chance I get, run my fingers along every sharp edge and every smooth plane of your fingers. I will take my headphones off when you're in the room because I'd rather listen to you breathe a symphony of everything precious. You will pull me away from the things that frustrate me, pull me close so I can fall into the comfort of you. We'll make our house a home, brimming with incandescent light. We'll turn every smile into laughter, ricocheting off the walls into our very being. When it's hard, we may fight. For each other and never against, we will fix, we will catch, we will stay, and we will save each other every time. When we sleep, it will be peaceful to the sound of each other's heartbeats. All this to say, my darling, I dream of us in every moment. End poem.
This is a beautiful read. You read beautifully, Katie, this love poem in the dreams of Torment King. You may sometimes hear these poems more than once because they're written for other shows, and those get read there. And then if they're picked as front page picks, we reread them to honor the poets that got the front page picks. What I love about this poem is where he talks about we make love look like a playground, merry-go-round pinning, and we laugh when the rusty gears creak. You know, that just reminded me of, you know, the lightness of love when you first start a relationship. And I do believe many times in many relationships, you forget to learn the things that you were attracted to that person and that you loved about that person. And later on, you allow those type of things to irritate you and to fight about. But that's not the point. The point is to keep laughing and to keep fighting. Like he says, when it's hard, we may fight for each other and never against. We will fix, we will catch, we will stay, and we will save each other every time. And, you know, that is the part of people who stay in long-term relationships is that they learn to forgive and to not bring up the things and throw it in somebody else's face, you know. Nobody likes to be slapped continually. And I really thought this was a beautiful tribute to whoever he is in love with. I'd like to know what you think, Gwen.
Yeah, after reading this again, this is a new relationship that's not been established too long, and it's growing, and you know, there's setting out a framework and some with some sweet sentiments of love and everything else with it. And I thought that was really beautiful, and I thought it's great until the relationship is a little bit older and more mature and more established, and then it changes into another type of setting, you know. But I think that this is a beautiful illustration of at least putting the framework that's optimistic around it and being realistic or trying to be, and yet being sentimental and sensitive, and I thought it was well done.
Agreed. Thank you. Wonderful comment. And Laurent, what did you think?
Well, once again, I kind of agree with Gwen. This is the emotional content of a new love, of something that is driving, not hyperbole, but driving the purple prose of his heart, where everything is used as an example, for instance, taking headphones off. They'd rather listen to your breathing. These are new utterances for this person, new ways of expressing himself that he's not been pushed to before. And the emotion there is strong. And again, that will change with time, perhaps, but right now, it's the perfect moment for that kind of poetry.
Great. Beautiful comment, Nora. Thank you. Okay, Miss Katie, ready for our next fantastic poem?
Okay, and the next one I have is Rainbow, Daniel, by Average White Man. And Dexter, could I ask you to read this for us, please?
Oh, we do have some clowns.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, good old. I really must start reading.
You see those little bicycles pedaling? That means there's a sound cloud. I do that for myself.
And you know what? Before... I actually looked at it and said, oh, there's a SoundCloud. And by the time I got over and pasted it, I'd forgotten there was a SoundCloud. So that's the way it's going.
Oh, that's okay.
The brain drain. My brain is draining.
That's okay. So you want to go ahead and announce it again so I can play it?
I will certainly do that. And we have Rainbow Daniel by Average White Man.
I swam inexorably upstream toward your lusty spawning grounds. Never thought of looking back. I leapt up waterfalls. I slinked past the heron. Never once did I turn around. I discerned you before I saw you. I could taste you in the water. A trail of tears and broken smiles littered the riverbed in your wake. Sunlight brought a little warmth. The trees brought cool green shade. Moonlight licked my silvery scales and lit a path throughout the night. I cut through angry white water. Irresistibly, I swam to where you await. Strong enough to stave off the cold, slick enough to catch your eye. But never could I hold back the charging waters of time. And now my senses are failing me. Now I am lost in the brine. But it's all right, my sweet darling. The wash of rapids will cleanse your memories of me from your fragile mind. Do not fret, O paradigm of womankind. It's okay that you changed your mind.
Wow, what a beautiful voice and reading. And as author's note, he says that, which I've never heard of this type of fish, but a Daniel is a type of fish that apparently mate for life. I don't know much about fish, so I'm using plenty of artistic license in my poem. And I this is so deeply romantic. His imagery is just so warm, like warm, water where it's just lapping over your body. Oh my goodness. Just starting off, I'm just going to read how he starts off. I do like where he said, I discerned you before I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
I could taste you in the water, a trail of tears and broken smiles litter the riverbed in your wake. Oh, just gorgeous wording and emotions throughout, even though he's talking about this little fish, but I really liked how he personified it. And it made me feel as, it feels like he's talking about you. And that is, just a poem that's just evading. What did you think, Katie?
I agree with you. This was beautifully done from the perspective of love and lust and spawning. I've actually been in a pool watching salmon leaping up a waterfall in
Glencoe.
Yeah, it was fabulous. It was just wonderful. It's amazing. Anyway, that's just by the by. But I love particularly, I leapt up waterfalls. I slinked past the heron. And never once did I turn around. Oh, so clever. I love that. I discerned you before I saw you. And I like that. You've already read this particular part, but I really enjoyed that too. But I think this was a beautiful poem, basically personifying the lovely rainbow, Daniel, but also telling us just how much he cares for the person in his life. So wonderfully done. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And our next wonderful poet to comment is Gwen. I would love to know your take on this.
Oh, yeah. I really love the imagery that he used to relate all of this and tie it all together. And it was, you could feel the buildup of what he was doing. And I take it, and I like what you said, too. I discerned you before I saw you. I could taste you in the water. A trail of tears and broken smiles littered in the riverbed of your wake. Sunlight brought a little warmth. The trees brought cool green shade. Moonlight licked my silvery scales and lit a path throughout the night. And he goes on. And it was just so descriptive and so detailed, And at the end, though, he fails. And that was just such a a crushing blow because he wasn't received, and now my senses are failing me. Now I'm lost in the brine. But it's all right, my sweet darling. The wash of rapids will cleanse your memories of me from your fragile mind. And he still is being sweet in his discourse of saying, it's okay. Very touching.
Mm-hmm. It is. Beautiful comic, Gwen. Thank you so much. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okie dokie. We have Once You Have Rounded the Sun, aha, by Arlise. And Iris, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure. Let me get on that. Once You've Rounded the Sun, by Arlise. Begin poem. Do not move an inch. Snug in the shade of a giant oak, stay motionless, resist time's passage. Like a stake in the wind, you hold fast to the soil, your soul defense against being swept skyward into the debris of clouds. Shadows creep across the wall, vanishing markers of mortality. Soon they will cover you. Soon you will bury them as totems to the timeless gods. What's past is no longer. What's to come will never be. You inherit the now as your legacy, a man of action, not a thought. Like Dorian Gray, you stare at your abstract portrait, a melange of geometric steps, colors, and organic forms. What you recognize is distorted. That squiggle your smile, that triangle your mind, try and coalesce the pieces into a harmonious whole. Once you've rounded the sun, naked self-interest flags. I see you clinging to the hands of a giant railway clock, trying to hold back time. But there is no back there, only now, which slips away from you, like each final breath you heave. Bark out the cadence of time's march across the globe. Embrace its passage. Your portrait remains unchanged. Time cauterizes all wounds, plucks out the stitches, and sends you on your way. Do not look behind. The future dances like a mirage, settled into the now. It will occupy you fully in the poem.
Oh, wonderful read of Arlis' poem. Gwen, it was just fantastic. What did you think about the poem, Laurent?
I love this piece. He has described perfectly a person in their later years who is resisting time. Do not move an inch, snug in the shade of a giant oak. Stay motionless, resist time's passage. And this is a thought, I think, that comes to all of us at a certain age. Shadows creep across the lawn, vanishing markers of mortality. Soon they will cover you, soon you will bury them. You cannot stop what is coming. The reference to Dorian Gray, the abstract portrait that he stares at, a melange of geometric shapes, colors, and organic forms, which what you recognize is distorted. It's a way of looking at yourself in later years and realizing that you have changed. But that last couple of lines really sews everything up. The future dances like a mirage. It's not real. Settle into the now. It will occupy you fully. Instead of dwelling on the past and what is to come, breathe deeply and recognize that now that you're living in is as rich a moment as you'll ever have.
Mm-hmm. Excellent comment, Laurent. And Dexter, what do you think?
Well, I thought, so to follow up Laurent's comment on that, and no one's nailed it, but I think that it's all really kind of encompassed on just even one day of sitting under this oak tree. I feel like this person is watching their shadow go from one side mm-hmm. to the other, and how the shadows creep across the lawn, and how all of a sudden, you know, the sun is here and then it goes to here, and then what everything looks like is so differently. I think that it's all of that that's happening all within, but it's all, you know, a metaphor, obviously, for a lifetime, as what Laurent was talking about. And so I thought that this was a fantastic write.
Yeah, I agree. I was looking at Arliss' comments to the poets that, you know, commented on this poem, and he says that, I guess I never tire of seeing the obvious. You know what? I'm going to have to go get my inhaler. So I'm going to, if you look at that comment, it says, but it is fleeting and we yearn for something more solid. So we look far back and far forward, but find only shadows. The real elements of the past and the future come to life only when we encounter them in present time. And we bemoan this only because we are in the present again, always, when we evaluate time. And I just thought that was a wonderful comment because it went so well with, I see you clinging to the hands of the giant railway clock trying to hold back time. You know, that is just something that is so visual. But there is no facts there, only now, when which slips away from you like each final breath you leave, bark out a cadence of time's march across the globe. Wow. Amazing poem.
Very true.
All right. So fantastic. So we're ready for our next poem.
Okay. Our next one is, excuse me, Crank by Guilty. And I will read this while you go and get your inhaler, my dear. Okay?
Okay. I'll be right back. Give me a few minutes.
Okay, my darling. No problem. So now we have Crank by Guilty. And excuse me, I'm losing my voice, but I'm trying not to croak too much. I was born in Alphabet City, above the Bowery streets, where the girls ain't always pretty. Molly, China, and White Lady always want to smile. Grew up in the East Village, positively 8th Street. Metal Thunder Continental peeped out, Asperian weed, dollar pizza slices, and anime eating those papaya grays. Danced in the West Village, stone walls and parades. Educated on Jane Street, another pretty girl to save. Blunted up to 14th Street, squares are unionized, rappers blank mixtapes. Screwed folk faces in Gramercy, I'd never speak their names. Lemon Twister, Pretty Sister, we'd never make it sane. Glamorous 90s parties, you were somebody else's flame. Grew up on Fifth Avenue, working the brownstone lane. It gets real lonely when the cold floor bears the blame. Vodka shots, ice cold lubes, newbound nymphs in tank tops. I woke uptown in El Barrio, barefoot brownstone and destitute, chain link fence and netless hoops. Jake and bake, smoke a dime or two, ran numbers for the man, more Cadillac blues. Columbia nights and Harlem days, Sunday morning brunch, gambled eggs and glaze. White Harlem bleeds to black. The ghost of Kerouac isn't coming back. Pay the man and walk the night. Dominion dandies in Washington Heights. Where every good general lays his head, get some pretty mama to make his bed. Nappy chili, make it worthwhile. Under GWB before faith, swim the Henry Hudson, but the water is never clean. End poem. So I don't know if Lou's back yet, but shall we get some comments? Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a very striking write in a very good way, great write about kind of street life in New York, as far as I even understand, I guess, is different from being outside of a New Yorker. But how everything is on a street, a village, a avenue, and this, and there's a lot of slang within here. Molly, China, White Lady, I believe all of these things, a lot of these things within this are a little bit of a slang. But he really captured that feel to that New York outside in the 90s when
when rap and when street life and when the Latinos and the Dominicans and the, everybody is around and it's just a heartbeat kind of the city. I thought that he captured that very well in this write.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you very much. Great comment. And Louie, are you back yet, my dear? No. Okay, no problem. And Laurent, your comment, if you could, please. Are you on mute? you have maybe disappeared. Okay, let's go. Rose, would you care to give us your comment, please?
Sure. I have to echo the comment of Dexter, too, that it was a real flash of different types of themes that New York was going through, and especially, like you said, with the inner city, and there were so many different cultural happenings that were taking place. You know, there was poetry, there was drugs, there was music, there was drugs, there was drinking, there was poverty, there was success, there was hustling, there was all these different facets of life that were happening. And it was just quite a fascinating encapsulation of all of this time that I really thought was fascinating. And it was colorful, and it just took me back to all those different things that I do recall. And I thought it was really well done.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, are you back? Is anybody back? Is there anybody out there? Laurent, are you back?
I think Laurent got dropped from Blog Talk, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably has. But I do like to kind of check in case we forget about him next time round. That'd be dreadful. you know, my mind goes like that. Louie, my dear, how are you? Back yet? No, she dropped also. Oh, hi, Phil.
No, there's...
Well, you tell me what you need me to do. Do you want me to grab poems for you or something like that? Are you okay?
No, I'm okay, my dear. I've done this so often. I still make mistakes, but we'll see how it goes. If you can't come back, it would be great to have you.
I'm back.
Oh,
sorry.
No, it's okay, my dear. Not a problem. It happens to us all.
I had to step away for a moment. I beg your pardon.
Listen, you're allowed. Nobody's chaining you to the... They're chaining me, but they're not chaining you. You're all right. Dexter, have you mentioned, have you talked about this yet? I've lost track.
Yes, I was first comment. Yes. Laurent didn't comment, or else you can move on.
I'm not sure about if Laurent heard it. Did you hear it, Laurent?
No, I missed it. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's not a problem. Right, Rose, you've already, yeah, you commented. Well, let's just go on.
Yeah, I did. Uh-huh.
Thank
okay.
you. Things like this just throw me a little bit, so please bear with me. I'm not
It's okay.
Exactly.
We'll be fine. You can just pick up the next poem and we'll go on.
We shall. I'm sure we shall. I think I already have it, but I'll go back and see. How easily I'm... Here we got it, I think, now. Okay. We have Tied to the Whipping Post by If Your Abs. And
okay.
Laurent, would you like to read this, please?
I'd be angry if I couldn't.
Okay, don't be angry.
Trust me. Tied to the Whipping Post. Afternoons, I watch the horses, whether I gamble or not, with a dark beer, a whiskey, or a tall glass of vodka. There must be something missing in the old factory region of my brain. Leather saddles, equine musk, earth, grass, dirt, cats, horse shit. I'm not sure. Part of it brings back my track buddy. Blind as a rat, hearing like an owl. Memory civil like a rain man. Betting on a hamburger budget with steakhouse hopes. Steel milled in alcoholic mists of shifts. Sealed test buttermilk suburban family. Milkman dysfunction, but hey, that horse shit's for humans, not horses. So I watched him run that oval loop, and some days I wonder just who's whipping who. and when will I cross the finish line? End poem.
Thank you. That's a wonderful read. Thank you so much. And Dexter, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I thought this was a great write. There was a lot of humor, which is kind of the, you know, the tone of Ifgarab's writes. He writes with such great lines, and then it's just an intermixture of the humor within. But horseshit, I'm not sure, parts of bring back to the track, buddy, blind as a bat, hearing like an owl, memory of savant of like Rain Man. You know, I feel like this is almost as if it's somebody that's put money into these horses and you're waiting for it to pay off. You know, there's people that can there's a lot of people that really cash out on horses, and then there's a lot of people that really put into horses and don't make much out of them, I don't think. And so, you know, you wonder sometimes who's whipping who. And I think that sometimes the business might be whipping your ass. So I thought that this is a great write.
Whipping your ass. You Americans, they slay me. Okay, Rose, would you like to comment, please?
Oh, sure. I really like this poem because my grandfather used to bet on the ponies, and there's a whole culture of different things that go on at the races, you know. And I like the way he alluded to some of the things that he was talking about, but. Yeah, my granddad would play the ponies and all the handicapping and all the things that you had to know. And, oh, my gosh, it was just amazing. And, yeah, you never knew which end was up sometimes. and I really enjoyed the way that it shared that part, yeah.
Right. Good point. Thank you. Thank you so much for your comment. And Laurent, your thoughts, please.
Yeah. Two more words. One more word. Okay. Thank you so much. There must be something missing in the olfactory region of my brain. Leather saddles require musk, earth, grass, dirt, oats, horse shit. I'm not sure. Part of it brings back my track buddy. Blind as a bat, hearing like an owl, memory savant like a Rain Man. You know, this poem rises from the floor of the track. It's sold in a stone voice of memory, real or imagined, doesn't matter. It's a character created in full costume, eventually wondering who has the whip hands. Really outstanding piece.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Frank. Sorry, Laurent. You're back, do you?
Yes, I am. It hung me up so many times, you wouldn't believe it. It was just throwing me out the door.
Welcome back.
It's the gods of the radio waves, that's who it is. Don't trust them. Don't ever trust them.
Okay. And I'm not sure who read last and who commented last, so we'll just start all over again. Okay.
Yeah, we've done the comments for that one, and now I'll put up the next one. You have to bear with me. I'm sorry. My mouth is so dry. I feel like I think I've eaten a desert. Okay. Moon Chase by Sunnyverse. Oh, you care to read this for us, please?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I will.
Thank you.
Moon Chase by Sunnyverse. Begin poem. Out running. That stone feather turns leaf, light bulb. Up there, out there, dancing. Help us feel, see. Where's this place? Spinning newest, old story. Cheese pullover. Blow stare. Converse. Old childhood, adult grows. Reverts. Friend. Ages in the round turn return. Turn, turn. On, off. Up, up. Away here. Away. So far. So near. Could almost take moon coin. Night glow coin. from giant pocket in our skies, reach before universal coin vanishes into deep dark vending machine. Universe's sea boat bobs in view, crest tides, waves, tides pull that brightest balloon boat submarine down out of view. Still, the night rolls. A lunar seabird, lightest reflectology, files, guides us. Our greatest captain, our lowered demise, hobo bum, our most put up on throne sitting, our bubba ba, goo goo, goopiest smiley baby, our elders wise moon eyes, farmers following seasons, our what grows now plant beings, our chickens beak claw comb and pebble gobbling, dreams up branch and human subtle wood, beams, our sailors, tailors, gators, soup bag, water and cloth, and water seams, writhing nows, a ship, a so, a super tail power, swimming dreams we humans. Can only moon ask, moon in every phase, yo-yo, disguise blade, box cutter, do love, midwife, nurse of lunar, prescribes free before, scribes, writing wisdom, moon whispers, bell sings, rings sing us, true answers and sends back questions. Reflects, even rejects, come back, clean, clear, on indigo ink fill, we live in under sky blankets, bowl of milky cheese, stone soup, moon, wise, wise fools. Choose moon's cat eye curl, follow that guilt. Make stars wish, mama earth, moon baby, moon parents in one, earth child, may we learn the fun, ways of our mystery. Moon, candle quest, vision, revision, quest, request. Moon, who chases, which chases? Together we hunt, lunar toe finds. These shall peace agree. Signs our work, a light beams meet. In poem.
You did such a wonderful read of Sunny Sunniverse poem. I really enjoyed a lot of her imagery in here. It did make me smile. I can't exactly, you know, I just like the way that she talked about our chickens beat claw, corn, and pebble, gobbling, drinks up branch and human subtle wood beams, our sailor, tailors, gators, zigzag waters and cloth and water seams riding now, a ship, a sow, a super tail power swimming dreams, we humans, you know, it just traveling those moonbeams at night when your, you know, your spirit just takes you there. And I thought all the different imagery she had in here was just wonderful. And you did such a fabulous job in reading it, Gwen. Really enjoyable. And let's go ahead and get some comments. Since I don't know who did last, I was showing Dexter didn't get to comment yet. So on my, because I do keep a chart. Dexter, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, this one's really hard to comment on first. Gwen, holy cow, did you rock this reading. I'll just say that. I feel like this is I'll say that this is an extremely cultural rite, and I think that it's not necessarily all, like, meant for me to supposed to understand. There's a lot of things that are written that it's like, you know, this is an A-B conversation so you can see your way out of it. There's a lot of things that almost feel like within this rite that are like, that she stayed very true to her cultural, guidance and her cultural substance that the imagery, the moon, the stars, you know, just the importance, the chickens, the everything in here just seemed like it was such a perfect rite that captured a culture and a glimpse. I thought that it was just very well done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And that's an excellent answer and perception. And Katie, you're the next poet to comment.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I got lost there. My little red light wasn't going off. I know where I was, where I wanted to, where I wanted to talk about. Where is it gone? See, I go up and down these women pages so far too quickly. Oh, yes. Could almost take moon coin, night glow coin from giant pockets in our skies, reach before universal coin vanishes into deep, dark vending machine. Oh, that's just crazily good. Ah, so cool. Wonder what one would get out of a universal vending machine. Oh, well. And I love the way it's staggered. And you have, you know, there's just no rhyme or reason to it, but it works so well because, like Rose, Irish Rose did, you take a deep breath and just go for it, you know. And at one point, you're going to get to where you want to go. You'll find it. It does become, it has its rhythm, I think, once you sort of get into it. But very good, very good. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And we are ready for our next one, sweetie.
Okay. And our next one. If there's any justice in the world, yay! Well, I've already had one. There's no justice in the world because I've already had that one. How is that? Oh, maybe it's not.
Not there.
Okay, got it. Here we are. This is such a brilliant way to have your 19th nervous breakdown. Here comes my 19th nervous breakdown.
Question mark and the Mysterians.
Yep. I love that. I love that one so much. And thank you for giving me a bit of time. Here we have Trees by Winter Hawk.
I don't have it. It doesn't show up.
I don't know if you left the site because it's saying it's not found.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got it here. Wow. Trees by Winter Hawk.
Yeah, it's showing, but why don't you try it again? Because for me, it's not working.
Okay,
for me either.
I was just going to do that. I haven't actually opened it yet, so I don't know if we're all having the same problem. So just give me a moment. Now it's sent again. I will try.
Nope. It's not. I guess he might have left the site.
Oh dear. What a shame.
Oh, shame. Okay, well, we will look at that later and see what's going on with that. Let's go back and we'll get...
Let's keep miserable. Get us another one.
I certainly will. Have you noticed how chaos just seems to follow me around? I bet this doesn't happen to other people. Laurent, you didn't have to agree quite so quickly. I knew I never liked them. The Universe in a Garden by Colap. And Dexter, would you like to read this for us, please? Don't tell me it's got a sound card, but I will be most upset. No, it hasn't. Okay. Dexter, is he there?
Did you say Dexter? Are you there?
Yeah, I
did. My sure did.
Okay, so what are you asking me to read it?
If you wouldn't mind.
All right. I just had to refresh my drink here. All right, there we go. The universe in a garden.
Yep.
Satis barbites, jumping spiders posing on dog excrement and garden lawn. Set of eight ruby eyes staring at you and beyond. The scent of stagnant ponds calls as first water lilies blossom. Rivalry petals unfurl, set against the jade surface. A barn owl swoop, chasing chickens pecking at the earthy foot of a rose bush. A fire bug, one on top of the other. In a shameless display of ensuring descendants, golden liquid floods, shadow of plum tree branches, changing positions, queen of quintessence, reposing in the pre-summers, delinquents, end poem.
This is a fabulous poem by Colap. I always enjoy her sharp imagery, and you get a beautiful read on it.
Gwen, what did you think of Colette's poem?
Oh, I just enjoyed it entirely. I just love jumping spiders. Yes, yes. And I'm gonna get one for I'm gonna get one for a pet. They are just such great pets. They're just cool, and I really enjoyed that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She described this little critter so well that they are a fascinating little insect, and they are very intelligent, and they can be mm-hmm. hand trained, and they kind of domesticated. And they're smart for a bug. And I enjoyed this poem.
Mm-hmm. Well,
very well done.
I don't know if I could have one as a pet, but I do like them outside in my garden. They don't scare me outside. They scare me when they come in the house. Yeah.
They live in little terrariums, so you can control them.
Oh, okay. I had a bunch of them. I went hiking to get off the subject, and we went out in the woods in New Mexico, and we went to go what my dad would call treasure hunting. So we went to go look at all the old buildings that were out there. And I went into one door, and I saw the floor move, and I go, oh, my God, what is that? And it was a bunch of tarantulas, and they all stood up. And they started jumping towards me. And, that freaked me out because I wasn't scared of spiders, because I've always caught them, lizards, horny toads, and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. And but after that happened, I liked them outside.
Oh, yeah, tarantulas is a whole other critter, okay.
Yeah, that's so true. And I enjoyed your answer, Gwen. Laurent.
How does it feel to be viewed as prey, do you?
Not too good.
Not
I could
good.
Not run fast
I'm
going to
go.
Right.
I'm going to go with the firebugs who light up when they're having sex. I think that was a great stanza. A firebug one on top of another in a shameless display of ensuring descendants. What better way to show how good you are at something that will light up during the very act. Now, this is great. This is a great, love the last stanza, too.
And thank you for telling me about the lightning bugs, shocking each other. Dexter, you did a fabulous read. I would love to know what you think.
Yeah, I thought this was a fantastic write, really capturing them. And it's like, at the end of the day, I guess, it's like, is it shameless to us or is it shameless to them? All of it seems like us living in the nature's world. And so it's like, for some reason, we've deemed these acts as repulsive and things like that, but this is the highlight of what this spider was going for. This is the highlight of his life at this moment. So I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I really enjoyed her poem, and I enjoyed everybody's answer. I can't believe you're gonna. I don't know if I could do that, Gwen. You'd have to, send me a link to let me go look at them.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, anything
cool.
That
they
jumps.
So cool.
Cool? Well, I was never scared of them until then, but I do like them outside. They don't bother me outside. I love looking at their nets, especially after it rains and you see the wet dew on it. It shines like diamonds. And, found out that hummingbirds, pull spider silk
mm-hmm.
to make their nest yes. so that as the baby gets bigger, the nest can stretch. I thought that
yep.
was,
Isn't
like,
that
so
amazing?
Fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're
talking about
spiders,
so.
He wouldn't like. He wouldn't be able
to. All right.
And we're ready. Oh, we're ready. Okay, open poetry. Here
open
we go.
Poetry.
Here we go, loop de loop. Here we go, loop de line.
Miss Katie, where did you go?
Yoo-hoo.
There she is. We're going to start open poetry now, sweetheart. Get our readers in and everything.
Where'd she go?
Katie, are you still there?
She's gone.
Katie? Oh, I don't know what happened to her. We can't hear you. All right, let me go ahead and, well, we wait for her to get back, or I don't know if she's having issues. So, then, okay, let's go ahead and start out with Frank since he's already here. And let me pick up his poem, and there is a SoundCloud, and hopefully Katie will be back by then. Okay, and here we go. And this is Erotic Tulip by Poetic Picasso. And let me go find him. Where are you again? Right, here we go.
My dear, with the suave tip of my long tongue, I explore the naked petals of your erotic tulip, caressing its outer lips as it fully opens into its blossoming state of arousal. And the lips of your exquisite flower exude an aromatic scent so attractive and seductive. I can taste your orgasmic moisture of its pouring stimulation, flowing in its erogenous delight, as my tongue penetrates deeper to the desirable chamber of the pleasure of the exotic pistol. The moisture of your tulip bathes in a warm pool of ecstasy, and the tulip climaxes with a sensual squirting, as it becomes even more aroused and blossoms with the stroke of its inner lips. The cup-shaped buds of your bosom swells with an uncontrollable sensation and floral urge as the lips are stroked and stroked with each thrust of the tongue of my salivating feast. The irresistible thrusts and causes the tulip to brighten its lustful color and shiver in its voluptuous contours as a thrust culminates to a passionate distension of my erect beak. So exciting, so pleasurable to the erotic tulip, drenched in the dripping rain and lost in the symphony of moans. Que calor, que rico, que travieso. Olé, olé, olé. End of poem.
Que travieso. I'd like to welcome caller 830 to the show. Who are we speaking with?
Hola.
Hola. Hi, Hope. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I would love to know what you think of Frank's poem.
his rights are, well, because he accompanies them with SoundClouds, it always takes the reader to this really sensual, enthralled feeling over it. It just, the atmosphere that he sets with it. I liked the title, and I like the way he started it, started the rite. And it just, mm-hmm. it's just so sensual and such full of passion that, I mean, you can't help but just experience it the way he's trying to have you experience it. I caught just the very beginning and the tail end, so that's the best I can do.
Mm-hmm. No, that's okay. That's a wonderful comment. Katie, are you back yet? Oh, no. I hope I didn't lose Katie. Katie! Oh, okay. Well, maybe something happened. Gwen, I would love to know what you think of Frank's poem.
Oh, well, it's Frank's, and it's always wonderfully sensual, but I think this one was probably a little bit more descriptive than some I've heard before, and he's always quite, his imagery is always quite sharp and quite passionate, but this seemed to have a lot more... a lot more imagery that was more pronounced, just say it like that. And it did leave a lot for the imagination. And I really
it?
Enjoyed it.
I know, so far. I'm just like, oh, man. Well, I just like, I always get stuck on certain stanzas when he's reading. And I really mm-hmm. got stuck on the first one. And then the ending, you know, you kind of like, your brain kicks in. I really like where he starts off, my dear. So, you know, the term of endearment. With the soft right. tip of my long tongue, I explore the naked petals of your erotic tulip, caressing its outer lip as it fully opens into a blossoming state of arousal. That is just so sensitive and, you know, so descriptive, and, you know, it just leaves the reader, and yeah, it does. And then when your brain finally wakes up, you know, he starts then so exciting and so pleasurable to the erotic tulip drenched in the dripping rain. And, oh, I love this. And lost in the symphony of moans. Que calor, mm-hmm. que rico, que travieso. And then ole, ole, ole. It's just rich and deeply erotic. I really enjoyed it. Okay, so.
Okay.
Katie? Yeah, I know. Katie, are you back yet, sweetheart? Okay.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know. Sometimes you get the bad connection. So mm-hmm. let me go back down and to the open poetry and get our readers in. Hope, can you stay on for a little bit, or do you need to read and run?
I can stay on for just a few.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Let me go ahead and pick up Irish's Rose poem and put it in the group so that she can read it.
You want me to do it now?
I got it in the free. Sweetie, it's there.
Okay. Where monsters lurk, and this is for Queen of the Hive contest. My eyes are sharp, my wings are spread. I feel your fear, I feel your dread. The hive is dark, wings buzz and thump. Where monsters lurk, they rap in their songs. A blood-red sight engulfs the hive. Monsters move and monsters fly, creeping and crawling around in the night. Their cold black hearts unsatisfy. I feel your fear. I feel your dread. Monsters are moving and jumping with threats. They lunge and sing without pain. They fly with full wings while burying their fangs. They bite and flush, sting while screaming at me, spitting their poison. They call out my name. I taste your fear. I'll taste your dread. I laugh and careen as my wings bursting. I dance like a crazy invisible being while fanning and zinging and flashing my thing. I'm full of death gleam, and I promise no peace. I'm that queen, bitch, and I'm coming for thee. They spin silk webs of invisible steel as they bury themselves and bodies in real. And shriveled dry husks crushed on the floor, their faux camel bodies blend perfectly sure. Behind old trap doors, they'll drag you right in. My jaws are strong. They slash and rip. Their razor blade sharp as I bite off your head. I'll murder all monsters with a snip and a slip, and I won't be due until you're all dead.
I'll eat out your hearts. I'll bite off your legs. I'll cut you apart and rip out your threads. I'll pinch off those wings and crush up your bones, smashing you into small crunchy bite moans. Then I'll feed your bug meat to all of my kids. Then I'll gorge on your guts and I'll feed like a pig. I'll taste your raw poison as I cut you in two. Then I'll spit it right out. I ain't no fool. I am the monster that's caught in your head. I'm the queen of your fear. I'll eat your dread. I'm the queen monster stuck in your head. End poem.
Ah, fabulous. Oh, this was just, it was in your face and deadly, and I enjoyed it. Katie, are you there yet? Okay, not there yet. Laurent, what did you think of her poem?
I told Gwen earlier that there's a delicious darkness to the poem, a macabre, menacing tone laced with a relish for the kill that is undeniable. I'm not normally a fan of center alignment, but I find it works very well in this case, leaving the reader suspended in that middle ground in a vulnerable space, and the writer as well. they spin their silk webs of invisible steel while they bury themselves in bodies unreal, and shriveled, dried husks left crunched on the floor. Their faux cameo bodies blend perfectly sure. I like the rhythm very much that she gave this, and the rhyming is just right, and the persona that she created, I'm that queen bitch and I'm coming for thee, is perfectly cast for the part. Yeah, I told her that a poet always has some of his or herself in a poem. What you share with us is proof that the gentlest rose will not hesitate to use its thorns, nor the queen bitch her sting. I know it was great stuff, creative and smile-making writing that knocks it out of the park.
Oh, yeah, it does. It's fabulous. I really enjoyed it. And you could just hear the deadly, delicious delight in your voice as you were reading it, Gwen. Dexter, I would love to know what you think.
Yeah, I want to echo what Laurent thought. You know what? I was very impressed by the rhyming and the flow that read this, and it actually doesn't surprise me now on the previous read that she had because of how well that her piece that she rhymed and just nailed this whole thing top to bottom. But like you said, though, the queen bitch, that there's a certain power and a certain feminine power that is riddled throughout this piece that makes her read even more so stand out. And I just thought that this was an incredible write.
Yeah, it was. You know, I loved her single sentences in between the power packing stanzas where she, you know, she says, I feel your fear. I feel your dread. I smell your fear. I smell your dread. I'll taste your fear. I'll taste your dread. And then at the end she goes, I'm the queen bitch that kills monsters dead. I'll eat your fear. I'll eat your dread. I'm the queen monster stuck in your head. Yeah, it was just, for me, this was delicious. It was powerful. Your insect is, you know, something, you know, it makes you look different at the mandibles of how he rips things apart. And, you know, that is in your face. I'm coming for you. And I thought you did that. It was just fabulous. I really enjoyed it, Gwen.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. And our next poem up on the board is by our very own Laurent.
All right. This is called Laurent? Surging Like the Ocean in My Ears. Monastic ink of a sleepless pen, this scratches lib. I'm going to start again. Monastic ink of a sleepless pen, whose scratchless nib never stutters, and sotto voce softly mutters, writing the words, inviting your song. Sing me the color of your soul, the one that brings the dawn, opening the yellow nirvana of daisies in a field, stretching green towards the mother's light. Tell me the story of your violet innocence and where you lost it, how you regained that weightless skeletal strength that flew you like a bluebird into my arms. spin me the arrows of your dark directions, piercing, muttering clouds, commingling with iron skies, targets for a hope that sorrow tried to drown in a black sea. Stretch me your coil of greening growth, undulating in a slow dance as you encircle flesh with soft thorns and ivy, draining me while feeding me life. Dance me a red sunset leaping with orange fire, bathing roses in the hues of night, closing petaled eyes against the twilight breeze that sources the spaces in my spirit. Whisper me your secret fears, your scarlet guilts, the anonymity of your loneliness that cloaks silent sorrows, and I shall drink of them from a great silver cup. Do I remain me, or do I become you, whose blood pumps in my veins, surging like the ocean in my ears? And
you know, this is one of the most beautiful poems I have ever seen that you write, Laurent. And just listening to you read it, you can just feel the emotions. And you just colored, you know, the love in our hearts. I'm going to see if Katie's back because I went, Katie, back yet? Okay, she's not back yet. What I loved about this is where you talked about, let me see, hold on. Of course, when you're looking, you can't see it stretching violently. I think what it is that how you were asking to let me see who you are, you know, let me know the hidden, the pain and everything. But what you did was you colored it so beautifully. Your last couple of stanzas are just utterly breathtaking. Dance near red sunset leaping with orange fire, bathing roses in the hues of night, closing petaled eyes against the twilight that sources the spaces in my spirit. And then this, whisper in your secret fears, your scarlet guilt, the anonymity of your loneliness that cloaks silent sorrow. And I shall drink of them from a great silver cup. Oh, it just, it's breathtaking. I'm almost speechless with the depths that this poem was written. It is utterly just, it's just beautiful. I cannot pick just one stanza, but, you know, for somebody to open themselves up to, you know, to anybody that they're in love with and give them to me, that, you know, it's a gift when you can expose the things that you have hidden. Oh, for Laurent. And I would like to know what you think, Hope.
I thought it was just absolutely beautiful. It was so lovely. Hearing him read it also just took it to such a deeper feeling for me personally. I felt so romantic. What I liked, the stanza that I liked the most was, sing me the color of your soul, the one that brings the dawn, opening the yellow nirvana of daisies in the field, stretching reed towards the mother's light. It gives such beautiful visuals with the colors and the metaphors between it all. It really just touched me. I haven't read such a beautiful write mm-hmm. in quite a while, so it was a real pleasure to hear him read it and to experience it that way.
Thank you so much.
I agree. That was a beautiful comment. Thank you. And then, Gwen, I'd like to know what you think.
Wow. I think the imagery was just outstanding. The use of colors and the use of things of the natural world, the flowers and the sunsets and the dawns. And I thought that the stanzas that struck me most were Dance Me a Red Sunset, leaping with orange fire, bathing roses, and the hues of night, closing petaled eyes against the twilight breeze that sources the spaces in my spirit. Whisper of me your secret fears, your scarlet guilt, the anonymity of your loneliness that cloaked silent sorrows, and I shall drink of them from a great silver cup. Do I remain me, or do I become you?
This blood pumps in my veins, surging like the ocean of my ears. Wow. That is, like, incredibly profound and deep and creates such imagery and emotion at the same time. And it has great passion, too. And it was just extremely well done. Well done, Lot. Well done.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Katie, are you back yet?
Yes, I am, my dear. Just got back this moment.
We were missing you, girl. Okay, we're in the open poetry section, and I just dropped in Hope Poem. So
okay.
If you would like to go ahead and say what it is, and then we'll get started.
Okay. Could you tell me the name of the poem again?
Seasons of You and Me. I just posted it in the group.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have, okay, Seasons of You and Me, and I don't know who read last.
Hope,
does it
is
really
there to read her poem?
Oh, it is. Hi, Hope. I didn't know that, my dear. I'm sorry. I've been absent for a little while, as has my brain.
Quite all right. You're all right.
Thank you.
Seasons of You and Me. The seasons of you live atop of my sugar plum skin. April showers bring the thunder that waters the white cream lilies which bloom in the valley between full breasts with sorrowful forecast. Heavy downpour fills a river that feeds my navel, birthing a shallow spring-fed pool where your fingers tiptoe and wade in. All four seasons of you and everything between lives in me. Sun retraces across my belly, burning in the sun. Crushed cherries smear and burst. Covers our nose and cheekbones. Leaves us flush. Soul bathed in amor. Toasting with wine, feed me the overflow of your sangria. Chopped up bits of passion fruit swirl with purple grapes as you play on the land that is ours. Enchanted firefly night sky, till the sun drowns in July's sweltering oceans, ready to greet the cooler days on a wet white bed asking for Labor Day to come. Lay in the autumn leaves below the wasteland curves, bright bountiful harvest where fall romance kisses wilting roses, petals that are crushed with each thrust, calling out to midnight snowbound hills where each breath can be seen. Crystal, fragile icicles touch the delicate lips. Tongue play, earlobe whispers, don't forget us. The seasons of not only you, but us dwell in my landscapes, keeping me near even when you're away. Feel the intent at each moment that rests in my pores, encounters creating muscle memory. Half of my body, half of your spirit resides in each of us.
Oh, Hope. This is picturesque. It is strikingly beautiful. I so enjoy listening to you read your poetry. It just takes me to another place. I really enjoy it, but it's not my turn to comment. So, Katie, I would love to know what you think of Hope's poem.
Beautiful. I mean, your work is always beautiful, but this is lovely. This is love and cherishing and all the seasons. And I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I just love, it's just a nice warm feeling this particular poem gives me. I just feel so, and then of course when it's cooler days, you feel cooler. But yeah, I thought it was wonderful. Thank you so much. And you've got such a sweet voice as well, which is so nice to listen to. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Beautiful comment. And I would love to know what you think, Laura.
Well, I think the piece is absolutely, well, it's a novel, to me at least, it's a novel imagery that when you play the seasons off against the skin, it opens up a whole new vista to the way that you want to use the language. Summer traces across my belly, burning in the sun, Crushed cherries smear and burst, covers our nose and cheekbones, leaving us flush, soul bathe in amour. But to me, the one that stands out is the penultimate one. Lay in the autumn leaves below the waistline curves, ripe, bountiful harvest, your fall romance, kisses, wilting rose petals that are crushed with each thrust, calling out to midnight snow-bound hills where each breath can be seen, crystal, fragile icicles touch the delicate lips, tongue play, earlobe, whisper, don't forget us. What a perfect thing to say in autumn, and the way it's played off, just, I was looking for the word original earlier, and it escaped me. I think this is a very original, right? Beautifully imaged and beautifully read.
Great. Thank you. What a fantastic comment. And Dexter, I would love to know what you think.
Yeah, this is a stunning write. The way that she talks about us, you know, leaves us flush. Feel your bath in the more, tasting with wine, you feed us. Oh, sangria, you know, the evolution of this piece is as beautiful as the stunning as the seasons themselves. So the love touches the high point in the beauty in each of the seasons. And so I just think that this is a fantastic piece, and it was just the way that she read it was stunning.
It was beautiful. Thank you so much, Dexter. And Katie, Hope, would you like to read Nuno's poem after Dexter's poem?
I sure can.
Okay, all right. Let's get Dexter in and then Nuno. I know it's always hard when you leave and then you come back and try to figure out where you're at.
Exactly. Just bear with me. I shall get, I know exactly where I'm going. Down. There we have it. Oh, this is a running commentary. This is what's called a running commentary. I bet you're all bored with it already. Mm-hmm. Oh, ping. I just ping.
Yeah, Dexter's at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got him. I just got to try and get out of this. Here we are.
Okay. Well, I'm happy. We're happy you're back.
Really? I bet it was going really smoothly. And now I'm back. Oh, dear. There we are. I'm sorry. The trouble I was having, you see, was my PC froze on me, and I couldn't even get in to tell you what was happening. And I got a horrible feeling it might be doing the same thing. Why is it not allowing me to paste? Sorry, Dexter. I'll be with you in a moment, my dear. Mm-hmm.
You need help?
If you could post that for me while I'm trying to get this, it's not working.
Okay.
Again, thank you.
Okay.
And I'll get back as quickly as I can.
I had to go look up a word that Nuno called hope. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Maracuya? Is that how you pronounce it? Hope?
Maracuya, yes, the passion fruit.
I didn't know what that was. I had to go look it up. I thought that was just so. I got you. You must be one juicy poet. Okay.
Our first poem was about me. He would reference me that way in his write. So it's just like, you know.
I think it's beautiful. It just, you know, it's just gorgeous. Okay.
Gracias.
Here we go, Dexter. Ven a la corazón.
Open your eyes. Magic lies in nature's pattern. Breathtaking beauty delivered. In every ocean wave cresting. Every child's beaming smile. The flowers lining a cliff, and every tribal dance twist, all meant to thrive in peace, singing choral like harmony. Yet we would rather take way more than we give, so we simply survive way more than we live.
and poem.
I need to ask you, what made you, what inspired you to write this texture?
I don't know. I just seen this video that he had on there of these kids dancing around and the nature, and I don't know. I just, that was it. It was mainly, mm-hmm. Mainly some kids dancing around, and having a blast, in a different country. So.
Mhm. Well, I enjoyed it. You know, I look at when the world is, how it is so much different when we were growing up younger than it is now. You know, for me, I am enchanted with nature. I have to plant the bees, you know, because I don't want them to die. I put up hummingbird feeders. I put up finch bird feeders. I put up all kinds of florals and vines that not only delight me in bright colors, but also this scent of jasmine that just enchants me. And also sage that I touch, and I, you know, put it over my face to smell the scent. And I thought that you caught that, you know, where you said in every tribal dance that stanza is so beautiful. And then I like in the second where you ask people to think about nature, you know, to not, that we have to take care of Mother Earth because we have no other place to go. There's no other place for us to survive without pain and agony that comes with it. And I thought that, you know, for me, I didn't see the video, but I really enjoyed your poem and I enjoyed hearing you read it. What did you think, Katie?
Thank you.
Was it me you were asking? I'm sorry.
Yes, I thought it was somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I do apologize. I'm having a little bother with this stupid thing. Okay, I think we're getting there slowly. I thought it was wonderful, Dexter. Sorry about that. I was trying to. For some reason, it wouldn't let me paste. Somebody somewhere does not like me. Right. Oh, yes. I thought this was absolutely lovely. I love your reads. It was so nice and gentle, beautiful. But I love the bringing magic. I love magic. Magic lies in nature's passions. Mm-hmm. Breathtaking beauty delivered in every ocean wave. Oh, a wonderful observation. I like that. That's so cool. Every tribal dance twist. Yes, I did enjoy this so much. It was very smooth to listen to as well. And I thought you did a wonderful job. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And our next poet to comment is Gwen. I would love to know what you thought of Dexter's poem.
Yeah, Dexter, I really liked this. It is true that we need to be more aware of the magic that lies in natural patterns, and whether it's in the ocean or whether it's, like you said, a child's smile, flowers on a cliff, or even just dances and singing choral and like the harmony that you related to, that, you know, it's just the joy of the human spirit, you know? And I think that's so missed now because we are so preoccupied with so many very heavy things in our society today that we miss that. And that just that simplicity of being in the eternal now and enjoying that, that sometimes we'll never come back again. And sometimes we don't think like that. And I really enjoyed your poem. It's really good.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gwen. And we're ready for our next poem, Nuno.
Yes, and we have it here. Oh, I'm so pleased we have it. We have Rats and Scorpions and Me and You and No One Knew by Nuno. Did I say it properly? No, I didn't. Oh, okay.
And, Cardoso. You know,
that surname I can say without a twitch, Cardoso. But for some reason, for some weird reason, poor boy's name. I feel so sorry. I never say it properly. Nuno. No, you don't know.
No, Cardoso.
Could I just call him Cardoso? Would you mind that very much?
Probably. I don't think he'd mind.
Okay, my darling, I've got that for you, ready for you to go.
Okay. Rats and scorpions and me and you and no one knew. Scorpions pierce and inject venom into tiny desert rat loins that deserted their sacks of wheat, carrying their black death crosses all across late Middle Age Europe. Back on the scarce occasion that the rat wins the odd sword duel after the incisors clash with the scorpion's alas stinger to crush the scorpion's exoskeleton with a bundle of flesh to the site of the hourglass sand drop fading into the gut of the primal picture. Carried by the feather of mercy, the rat then howls at the moon as he was a werewolf ready to and arrive at the full moon. Reek! Or the nonchalant, oh! Mm-hmm. Hey, pal, don't drunken mirrors do the same with great glasses of Irish Scotch whiskey while smoking a blend of Virginia and Burley? Hand-rolled tobacco cigarettes. The scales only tip in our reflection the moment we scream and the bottles break, don't they? Yet the best of the squeaker aren't to be taken lightly. They lead heavy cheese that rotten chews on can be tainted by the vacuums of life through its tiny chompers. How many scorpions have stung your poems and have adjusted to the venom that courses through the veins of this poem? While I have yet to be bitten by a rat, many scorpions have attempted to kiss me in the night of the falling stars where frogs slumber atop lily pads of trust. Yet as I crumble inside a tumbleweed, I wouldn't know what death's whips taste like. Neither flick the switch that turned my skin pale and gray or permit the blood to thicken into sweet, iron-flavored gravy. Guess death has to wait another day as this rat with a stinger for a tail awaits a worthy opponent.
Wow. That was just a fantastic read of Nuno's poem, Hope. I really enjoyed it. When I was in the rap group, I was a tarantula hawk, and they literally hunt tarantulas to kill them, put the stinger in so that the babies can eat them from the inside out. So I really love this poem. I've been bitten by two scorpions, and it hurts like hell. And I love this poem. It was just, I enjoy watching, because I'm scared of tarantulas, I enjoy watching the tarantula hawk kill scorpion, you know, tarantulas and spiders, and, you know, they even kill scorpions too. So I don't know if you have those up there, tarantula hawks.
Oh, they're bad.
You can look at them. I like them, so. And right here where I heard you reading, I'm sorry, how many scorpions have strung your poem? Have you adjusted to the venom that courses through the veins of this poem? And I just found that absolutely very visual and very delicious because, you know, I enjoyed it very much. It was like watching a nature show with that, with Nunu's type of the way that he speaks and writes. It's almost got that lyrical sound to it. And I love how he puts in, you know, the emotions in here, you know, where I was listening to you read. I really enjoyed that. I did. I got tickled pink. I love this poem. Laurent Roth. So let me go ahead and get him. Sir, what did you think of Nuno's poem?
I thought this was great. You know, what it reminded me of is almost Templeton from Charlotte's Web. You know, the rat rolling around and eating the smorgasbord. But at the same time, though, that the rats are very resourceful. And And I think that there's even a quote, I believe, that even by about Putin, that, which obviously is a terrible person, but we're just talking about the quote that he said that he learned a lot from cornering a rat. A rat will fight back. Mm-hmm. And in this right, there's that resourcefulness. There's a lot that you need to learn in life. And this is almost a very, walked along the lines that, and like I said, this, I don't mean to say that to like, oh, this is like what Putin learned, but there's a lot that Putin learned actually from what I've heard from the quote about life, about a rat that is willing to fight back, and that's what this right was about. And so I thought that this was a great piece.
I think so too. I liked it. And Gwen, I know you were saying something. I would love to hear what you have to say.
Oh my God, I hate scorpions. Ooh. You know what else is very similar is the vinegar runes. It's another scorpion kind of thing. And they're in,
those are big.
Oh, they are. They're in Las Vegas and down there.
They're ugly.
Nevada.
You ever pick one up?
Things. Oh, no, I try not to. And,
yeah, they do.
Stink. They are bad. Yes. And I was thinking about, you know, having it out with a scorpion and a rat, but a scorpion especially. Well, I like this one stanza. Well, I have yet to be bitten by a rat, but many scorpions have attempted to kiss me in the night. Oh, a fallen star is
yeah,
under
I have. I've gotten stung twice. Yeah,
there's like crumble inside a tumbleweed. I wouldn't know what death lips taste like. And I was just, you know, I thought this was such a visual, this whole poem was, especially with the contrast of a rat and a scorpion. And it was just a really interesting journey through the whole thing of thought about the comparisons of the two getting together and having it out and what you could learn from them. And it's just like, man, wow. Incredibly a lot. I thought he did a really good job. And I'm glad the rat won.
I don't like rats.
I like scorpions less.
they carry so many diseases and no, not me. And so now we've got, this good poetry and everybody starts talking about everything. So we have enough time for one more poem and open poetry.
Okay. Has Irish Road read hers yet?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, she has. Oh, good.
Eski hasn't been read, and
okay.
Ben also put in a poem for open poetry.
Okay. So Eski first, then. Okay.
Okay.
I used to, I used to be able to do two things at once. I can't even do one thing at once at the moment. All right, here we have Atrophy, Opus 6, by Eski Nogest. And shall I read this? Because I don't know if this is... I'll just read this. I've got it in front of me. Okay. Right. Rather a long one. So I hope we have time. Right. Transient connection. Silent hammers pounding a fragile skull. Discordant overtures resonating. Blurred absences stalking the real. Chessboard angst in regimented columns. Battles of black and white with opposing corners. Pierced by the holy man's diagonal skewers, the solitary pawn's gambit and needless sacrifice. Rabid dog course wild-eyed mad-marked hares, monochrome movies on sweat-stained cotton, ripping slate from workshop blue sunken eyes, pressing nighttime creases in a diaphanous veil. Streetlight reminders crackling blackout curtains, a fleeting intermittent dawn chorus from behind the taped-up painted windows, that mark the confines of a living tomb. A fractured chalice carved from time, rivers of reason staining the stem, Kingisuji reparations forgotten behind doors swollen shut. Illegible pages in a black book, please, an indecipherable text. Verbose meandering dripping from the pages. Just more ripples and shallow puddles of nothing. Open eyes cornered with condescending smiles, preaching book-learned empathy in a sterile church. As dust gathers on polished empty pews, white-faced nimble figures trace the final script. End poem.
Oh my goodness, this is very painful for me because my grandmother had Alzheimer's, and especially in this stanza that I remember, you know, I could see this because I took care of her, my abuelita. Street lights, reminders, cracking, blackout curtain, a fleeting, intermittent, drawn chorus from behind the taped up, painted windows that marked the confines of a living tomb. You know, I remember she would be looking at us and her eyes would be alert and she would try to speak, you know, like you could see her trying to move her mouth, but the Alzheimer's and the dementia had progressed so badly that, you know, she only spoke one time before she died when she said goodbye to all of us. And we could see the, you know, I could see the tears in her eyes. And, you know, this is so difficult to deal with, especially if you take care of somebody, a family member, a friend, or you're a caregiver with somebody that has this issue. And she calls it bilateral parietal lobe atrophy. And, you know, it is difficult to deal with. Hope, what did you think of Esky's poem?
That stanza that you read was really striking to me. It gave such a dark image in my mind. I think as many people can relate to that, like hiding in the dark and just the crack of the sunlight coming in. It gave me just the chills hearing that part being read. I thought the whole plight carried emotions really strong to where the reader can really feel it all. I enjoyed it a lot, but that stanza really, really struck me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Beautiful comment. And what did you think about the poem, Katie?
Oh, yes. Again, like yourself, it does, it resonates with me so much. And like you, it was my aunt. I was her only family, so I looked after her, spent days and nights in the hospital sitting by her bed. So, yes, it really, a hard, hard thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully
you.
Written, though.
Yeah,
I just wanted to say it was beautifully written and a subject that obviously should always be discussed. Everything should be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much.
I think so. All right. And we have about 90 seconds left, and Gwen, I would love to hear your comments.
Well, I think that it's a very difficult thing when one goes through this kind of situation. And I just one stanza just kind of jumped out at me. A fractured chalice carved from time, referring to the personal, you know, rivers of reason staining the stem. Kintsugi reparations forgotten. You can't be fixed. Behind doors swollen shut. And, you know, the imagery speaking of that dire situation that a person finds himself in. And I think that this was very well written, and I thought it was very deep, and it was very heavy, but it was a heavy subject. So, yeah, and I think it was handled very well.
Agreed. Well, I want to thank everybody who called in, and Phil for setting us up, and Katie, and Gwen, and Laurent, and Dexter, and Hope, and Frank, and Nuno, and Silent Tree for hanging on the board. We love you guys. You have a fabulous, safe evening. Travel safely as you go back home because we know so many people travel during Memorial Day. I love you guys and have a great evening. I love you. Besitos a todos.
Good night.
Kisses to everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Night, Hope. Night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it said we only had 10 seconds left, and it's showing we have more, but it's too late for us to read a poem. Are you still there, Katie?
Hang on. Yes, I am.
Hello.
Hello. You got me?
we're still on the air.
Mm-hmm.
It said we only have 10 seconds left, but it's still showing that the clock is running, that we have 3 minutes left, so...
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
I don't know what's going on. Yeah.
Well,
thank you. I'm glad you came back, and a great night of poetry. Now I need to go back and mark all the poems that we read. So,
yes.
But it was a good show. I mean, fabulous.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Apart from the mess ups. Great. And I had a lovely time.
Well,
I'm sorry, it all got mixed up at my end. But that's my end for you.
Well, No, it's always hard to jump in when you get kicked off because you don't know
mm-hmm.
where everybody's at. So that just happens to everybody. But anyhow, girl, I love you. You have a great week. And
you
hope to see you later.
Okay. Keep All well, right. my darling.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good
you
night,
too.
Mother. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay.